switch to a healthcare plan awarded 5 out of 5 stars for quality and service. A plan from United Healthcare. Get benefits like vision, dental care, and more. Call United Healthcare today at 1-800-SHOP-UHC. Benefits, features, or devices vary by plan and area. Limitations and exclusions apply. Every year, Medicare evaluates plans based on a 5-star rating system. Medicare Advantage plan star rating applies to contract numbers H0294, H2001, H2226, H3794, H4590, H5253, and H5420 that are rated 5 out of 5 stars for 2022.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this February 4th, Friday, 2022. And folks, I want to say that we're here. I didn't get to, the deep state did not get me. I know a lot of you folks wondered about last night. Well, tonight, Courageous Craig has made it through with his team, his dog sled, as he mushed him through the high snow.
Yeah, and it was now, definitely better than last night. Last night, man, the highways were terrible.
Yeah, and in all my years, 50 years on the radio, now, there's been times when I haven't been able to get through, you know, because of floods. We've had floods, we've had storms. You name it, but there's never been a time that nobody was able to get to the station. And last night, I guess the day shift went home early and to avoid the storm. And Craig was out there courageously trying to make it in through neck deep snow, and the highways were terrible. But today he's back. Exactly. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Now, tonight we have with us my two extremely distinguished and honorable statesmen as co-hosts, John and John. Now, the problem is, folks, that both of them want to be introduced first, and that's really kind of childish. So I'll
Sir
just...
Ronnie, I'm not like that. I don't need to be introduced first.
All right. Remember, whoever's last will be first.
That's right.
Okay. So we have John Holman.
Good evening, everyone. Lord's blessings to you.
And privileged
to be here.
And that distinguished chaplain and author and bestseller, none other than Chaplain John McTurton.
Well, Pastor Ernie, God bless you. Hey, Shabbat Shalom.
Oh yeah,
and God bless all our listeners.
All right, we got a lot to cover tonight. I mean, a whole lot to cover. First thing I want to do though is, I got to say, I wanted to make sure the people know that this coming Monday, February 7th, my dear friend Joe Clark, who many of you have heard on this radio program many, many times, he used to be a regular caller, and he would sit in with me too. And you hear Joe and a number of the songs we play. Him and I made a number of songs together. But Joe went home to be with the Lord, and he finished his course. And his funeral is going to be Monday. And the viewing is going to be at the Eckert Baldwin Funeral Home. The Eckert Baldwin Funeral Home at 760 East Market Street. 760 East Market Street in Akron, Ohio. And here, the viewing will be from 4 to 5:30. Now, the burial will take place on Thursday, February 10th at 10 a.m. at the Holy Cross Cemetery in Akron. The Holy Cross Cemetery in Akron. So I wanted to say that. Also, another announcement I wanted to make was that Pastor Walter Moss, he is a pro-life activist pastor. He's a black man, and he's very, very involved, especially with he's written that book, the book about why so many black babies are being killed by the bloody abortion. So Walter Moss will be preaching the evening service this coming Sunday. We're giving old Pastor Hall a break, giving him a day off. Anyhow, he's worried about that snow, too. Anyhow, so there you go. This coming Sunday evening at 6 p.m., Pastor Walter Moss will be there. He will be preaching, Lord's willing. I always say Lord's willing because the Lord tells us always to say Lord's willing. And that's the best reason in the world. Okay, 6 p.m., and we're going to start. The title of the message this week, fellas, was What the Truly Elect Can Never Accept. The Truly Elect Can Never Accept. Now, we talked about a number of things we were going through there. One, first of all, we started with abortion. The truly elect, real Christians can never accept abortion. Never. Then we dealt with infidelity. True Christians will never accept infidelity. And then tonight we're going to pick it up. Now, one of the things that true Christians would never accept, but we're not going to go into that tonight because of time, and it's a long message, would be sodomy. And that's out of Romans. So we're going to pass that up because we went extensively into that. What they call today the young people, we will just deal with that in the sense that it's accepted by a lot of young people today. They run around, they've got no idea, and I'm hearing people professing Christians talking about how proud they are, you know, especially on Fox News, where you have that the one woman, Tammy, who's a lesbian, and she's like promotes that, and the others on there who are professing Christians say how wonderful it is that she can be a lesbian and be a conservative. God doesn't say that's wonderful, folks, okay? Somewhere, they're missing a sense of common sense there. But anyhow, and of course, we know that real true Christians would never accept the scamdemic. They would never accept this whole scam, what is going on here. And so we're going to be talking about that some tonight. So we start tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 22, and we talk about dress. And John McTurner, would you read verse 5?
The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God.
All right. John, a number of the Baptist churches on the UBF, conservative independent Baptist churches, I mean, I'm talking about real Baptist churches, I'm not talking about the Protestant, you know, the fact that the vast majority of those that have Baptist in their name are not really Baptist at all. They're Protestant, okay? But I'm talking about the actual Baptist church. Many of those churches will not let women wear slacks to church. They have to wear a dress. Now, and they'll justify that by saying, you know, that slacks are for men, not for women. Now, I don't do that, and here's why I don't do that. You see, I know this, that there are men's slacks, and there are women's slacks, and there's a difference. And do you know what the difference is? Let's see if John and John knows the difference. Do you know what the difference is between men's slacks and women's slacks, John and John?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Tell us.
One has a zipper and the other doesn't?
Yeah. No, one's got a zipper in the front.
Yeah.
And that's the male, because that's where it's needed. The women usually have a zipper on the side, Most of them have a zipper on the side. Now, there's a difference between slacks and some of these other things that are not, they're not really slacks. Leotards. No, there's not leotards. There's another name for them, and I'm trying to remember. I can't remember right now. But
tights?
Pardon?
Tights.
Yeah, like tights, but there's another name for them.
Leggings.
Leggings, that's it. And the problem with leggings is they're very, very tight. Now, I'll explain to you why what I'm talking about. I had, as you remember, when I injured my arm and my shoulder, and I had to go for therapy. I went to therapy, and all of the women there. Well, the first day I walked in, a friend of mine, Meg, actually Peg is her name. She was leaving, and she said, "Pastor, you really need to talk to these girls here, okay, that work in this place." Well, all of those girls were pretty, and but you know they were all wearing those leggings, okay, and I didn't see. I don't know if they understand, but they were tight where it didn't leave anything to the imagination at all. Okay, in other words, they were so tight you could tell whether or not they were wearing underwear. Okay, and that's how tight they were. And so what happens is I'm a man, and I know this to be a fact. And so what happens is, being a man, you're supposed to flee temptation and even looking upon these women. And I'm sure that they didn't understand completely, you know, because there probably weren't any of them in there that were Christians at all. I don't know that for a fact. But for that reason, when my doctor wanted me to go back for more therapy, I didn't go back for more therapy for that reason, because all of those women were exceptionally pretty. Now, if those women had looked like me, it would have been different, okay? But they didn't. No. Anyhow, that's part of this. So that's the difference between men's garments. Now, people will say, well, in those days, they all wore robes, and they all looked the same. What do you say, John?
Well, yeah, Pastor Ernie, that was a traditional garb. And the point I think maybe you're getting at is to dress modestly, not to draw attention to certain areas.
No, they believe me, John. They did wear robes, but there was a distinct difference between a man's
the way
robe.
Wrapped them.
Yeah, between a man's robe and the way a woman's robe. In fact, if a woman was caught wearing a man's robe, she would have been shunned. If a man had been caught wearing a woman's robe, he could have been stoned, because that was such an offense to do that. Okay, and so it's an abomination in the Lord's sight. You didn't do that. So there's an extreme difference between a man's robe and a woman's robe that you could tell. And the same thing today with these clothes. So now, but you're right. It's got to do with two things, right? It's about reversing gender roles. It's about reversing gender roles. You see a lot of that today. They're trying to make women into men and men into women, trying to effeminize men and masculize women. And the Bible says that's what? An abomination, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay, and so here, I want you to go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and read me verses 8 through 15. We'll let Holman do it, because you got to read this one, John. Go ahead.
1 Timothy 2,
8 through 15.
Okay. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with
broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works? Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I will not, but I suffer not a woman to teach or nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety.
All right. Okay. So now here he says, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Paul says we're to pray unceasingly, didn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefaced sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh a woman's professing God, godliness, with good works. In other words, a woman's beauty is supposed to come from within, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so here, the idea that you're looking at, with modest apparel, that means... Doesn't mean low-cut blouses, does it?
No, none of that.
No, Pastor Ernie. You know, modest means you're not like attracting attention.
Right. And so here, for example, when they're wearing very tight clothes and low-cut blouses and that attracts attention, And it causes men to sin. Now, let me ask you this. If 10 men look upon a woman and they lust after her and they sin, and how many of those sins does she share?
That's all. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so here now. So and see, they talk about, you know, not to have the emphasis on you know, your braided hair, your hair and all this, but the emphasis is on a woman professing godliness with good works, and that beauty comes from within. Now, let the women learn. Well, let me give you an example, too, what we're talking about. Every year, we would have What's Right, What's Left would have a picnic in Menor Headlands out here, which, you know, is a big beach. And we did that for many years, and to one year we went out there, and some female judge in Michigan made a ruling that if men could go shirtless, women could go shirtless, that there was no difference between a man and a woman. Now, let me ask you, too, if you have a man and a woman, and they're both shirtless, can you tell the difference?
Well, I have to say yes, Prince Bernie.
I mean, I could tell the difference if... If you showed me 100 different ones, I would know the difference. I could tell the difference. Now, you know, so here, there is a difference. Now, and the difference is what makes, because of a woman's anatomy.
I could tell you the easy explanation to this. The difference.
All right. Go ahead.
Men can do pull-ups and women can't.
Okay, that might.
You like that, huh? You like that proof?
I don't know if we could argue that in court, but it's, but anyhow, it's
Pastor Ernie. When I was younger, and I don't know what age I was, but we played a lot of baseball, and we would the girls wanted to play in the neighborhood. And we wouldn't let them play because they couldn't throw a baseball.
No, so yeah.
We talk amongst ourselves and we say, what's wrong with them? You know, we're probably about 10 years old, Pastor. And we say, girls, get out. We don't want you to play. Get out. You can't throw the ball. So, and I'm offering you all sorts of proofs.
Now, I remember that it used to be that one of the things that when women would ride a horse, they would ride side saddle. I remember bicycles were made different. Different for women than men. The women's bicycle didn't have a bar in the middle. There was a lot of differences because of the anatomy. I'm trying to think of some of the other things. But now, did you guys remember going back in the 50s? And I was just telling you about the beach. Well, going back in the 50s, today you go down to the beach and you'll have these women and they'll show their whole rear end. You can see everything, the whole rear end. And if you didn't see that one little strip, you would think that they were strictly bare naked. Now, back in the 50s, do you remember what would have happened to a woman if she'd come to the beach like that?
Oh, yeah, they'd immediately arrested.
She would have been arrested for indecent exposure. Her reputation would have been ruined, huh?
Yeah.
So this is a total decline of morals. Now, let me ask you this. If you go out to the beach in the summertime here, and these girls are running naked like that, and you talk to them, how many do you think might profess, yeah, we go to church, we're Christians, we go to church, but it's okay to do this because everybody's doing it?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie. I'm sure there'd probably be some, you know.
Okay. Yeah, there would be, because I know I have talked to some of them. And they really don't see what's wrong with that. Now, here, when they do that, they do it to be looked at. And then when these boys are looking at them, if they don't happen to like the boy, they'll say, what are you looking at? Okay. But, so that's what he's talking about here, professing good works and godliness. And that's not a good work. See, here, true Christians would never accept that. Would never accept that. I mean, let me give you an example. Some years ago, we were out one of those picnics that I was telling you about. And we had two 15-year-old girls had wore these bikinis. They were very small. But they weren't like what the girls wear nowadays where they show their whole rear end. They weren't that bad, but they were small. Now, these girls were cousins, and their grandmother came over to me. And she says, do you see those two girls out there? You're a pastor. You need to go and say something to them. You need to tell them why it's wrong to do that. And Grandma was in set, you know, she was intent. She wasn't asking me to do that. Grandma was making it clear this is what she wanted me to do. And so I didn't want to disappoint Grandma, and she had a good point. And so I went out there, and those two girls were there in the water. And I called them by name, both of them by name. And I'm not going to mention their names because they're both grown women nowadays, and I don't want to embarrass them. But I called them by name, and I said, you're naked. Do you know you're naked? You don't have any clothes on. And everybody started looking at them. As soon as they heard that word, they started. And these two girls, when they saw everybody look at them, they tried to cover themselves up. I held up a towel. And I held up the towel so they could come out. Now, you see, they didn't realize that they was naked until I told them they was naked. Remember, it was like Adam and Eve in the garden? And so they come out, and they got wrapped up in the towel. And I was Grandma's hero that day. She really liked that. And so those girls learned a lesson, though, you see. But, you know, 15-year-olds is a different story. There's no excuse for these grown women pulling that off, right?
Now, Pastor Ernie, and I actually walked out of a church one time before they even started preaching because I couldn't look at the preacher because he had a whole row of women sitting behind him, and the pew shouldn't be seen that was seen. So I walked out.
Yeah, well, that's the best thing to do, avoid the temptation, huh? Yeah, well,
nobody asked why I left, you know, and I was first time there and last time.
Well, I've had a situation where we've had people come in that were first-timers, come to the church, they came from someplace else, and you're right, you could see literally these young girls would set up their, and women, and it would be like they had no, you know, the skirts would be so short, you could see their underwear. Now, the first time they come in, then what do you do? Well, you have one of the older women in the church go talk to them and tell them, and then, now, if you've done that and they still continue to do that, then you have to do church discipline, don't you?
Yeah. John had a friend. What was your friend's name, John, the lady that you knew that would tell them?
Oh, yes, Roma, yes.
Yeah,
a woman, the youth pastor's wife came in to the church. Today, it might be acceptable, but it certainly wasn't back in the 1970s. And the women were aghast at the way she was dressed. And they were talking amongst themselves about who was going to confront her, that she would never dress like that again. So that Pastor Ernie, that was in the 1970s. And they did confront her, and she never dressed like that again.
Well, you know, that's right. Maybe, you know, sometimes they just didn't know any better. They come out of the world there. And so, anyhow, we're going to... I remember a situation where at the UBF meeting, old pastor Dr. Altwell, he was a Texas, an old-time, heaven-sweet-hell-hot preacher, fire and brimstone preacher, and he got to preaching on that what you just read out of Deuteronomy 22:5. And in front of me... because I spoke at every one for about 20 years. I spoke at every meeting. And in front of me was three women that had come in, and they were wearing pantsuits. And they were, you know, older women. They weren't young. They were older women. Well, he preached heaven sweet hell hot. And then at lunchtime, you know, he took a break for lunch. And when we come back after lunch, all three of those women were back there, but they were all three wearing dresses. God's word doesn't return void, does it? And so, there you go. With that, we're going to go to a quick song, and then we got a clip. Go ahead.
He made the ground, the mountains high, and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. Man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by a man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, love has never been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, love has never been found stronger than love.
To Joe Clark. That was Joe Clark and I. And fellas, the last time I talked to Joe, well, not the last time I talked to him, because I talked to him on the phone, but the last time I was with him, we talked about making one more song. You know, we were laughing about, well, we still have time, you know, and, well, we ran out of time. But anyhow, I know Joe that it has heard, well done, my good and faithful servant, because he was a very, very active, you guys would have loved him, very, very active pro-lifer, and he was with us for many years. He stayed with the ministry, he came every Thursday morning for years to the men's prayer breakfast. His health started giving away on him somewhat, but he always put other people first. Joe always did that, and so I have no doubts that he heard those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I know Joe's is resting in peace right now and seeing things that we can only imagine. You beat me home, Joe. All right, we've got a fellow's... I wouldn't fly on a plane unless it was an absolute necessary. And the reason is because of the woke movement, this absolute lunacy of political correctness. We're going to play a clip here. It's about a 14-minute clip. And so it's what's happening with these pilots and why they are so fed up with this, the pandemic and the poisonous, the bioweapons and the masks, they're fed up. They've had enough. But go ahead and play the clip.
Well, we've done a lot of segments over the past few weeks on pilots, both military and civilian, and the impact that is being had on their health by this unapproved, experimental, dangerous, now proven to be deadly, clot-causing, stroke-causing injection being falsely referred to as a safe and effective vaccine, because it is not a vaccine and it is not FDA approved. Let me be clear. There is no FDA approved COVID vaccine available in the United States of America, period. That is a fake news lie. We have pilots blacking out, just as we predicted, dying at the controls of aircraft, atrial fibrillation, all kinds of neurological problems when they were completely healthy before. But it's not just about this bioweapon jab. There's another piece of ridiculous stupidity that pilots are having to put up with, and it's permanent masking. We're 2 years into this pandemic, and it's perfectly clear that it doesn't matter at all. But still, both passengers and crew on airplanes are being ordered to wear masks for their entire flights. And this is a problem, a big problem. Bahij Saliba is a commercial pilot. He has close to four decades of experience. After moving here from a war-torn country with the dream of learning to fly, he drove across America seven times hunting for a flying job before he got one in Arizona. His family built their house by hand over a five-year period. They're the real American dream, but now some goose-step enforcers are trying to crush them. Captain Saliba says what ought to be extremely obvious: wearing a mask properly directly impedes breathing. And when you directly impede breathing, it creates problems. Do you get it? He says that pilots are getting hypoxia while flying. That's when you don't have enough oxygen going to your brain. Captain Saliba sees the obvious danger from this and refuses to wear a mask. Good for him. But for that, he's being targeted with thousands of dollars in fines by the TSA. But Captain Saliba argues that these fines, and in fact, the entire mask mandates, are illegal and violate FAA regulations. But airlines and the Biden junta are colluding to pretend otherwise. And of course, empowering the media to just continuously, incessantly lie to you over and over again. The regime's communist propaganda arm. There is no honest media. Well, Captain Saliba's not a political extremist. In fact, he wasn't political at all until COVID showed up. He's not a member of Freedom Flyers, the group that we've spoken with a few times on this show. He's just an ordinary man and a pilot who's fed up and he's decided to take a stand. And in the process, he's become a huge thorn in the side of the COVID panic enforcers. Captain Saliba joins us now. It seems to me like flying these days has just become Russian roulette.
I agree with you. Flying to begin with is a risky business. And there are a set of rules and regulations that have been in place for decades that the FAA has put in place that we all must follow. And if we don't, things happen and bad things happen. And bad things happened for all these rules and regulations to begin with, which is a sad part of it, but that's how it happens. That's how they are constructed. One of the rules is, and everybody relies on us, the public, the airlines, even the FAA relies on the pilots to make that decision that they are fit for that duty on that day. And we are the ultimate deciders whether we are fit for duty or not. So it is my opinion that having a mask on restricts the amount of oxygen that a pilot has in their blood system. And as such, it impairs their functionality, their brain powers, if you will, to rationalize what they are doing, and the decision-making is impeded.
So have you seen this in real life? I mean, have you seen instances of this taking place where pilots are complaining of this?
Oh, absolutely. Every pilot complains about the masks. They don't like wearing them, but they do because they feel threatened and the airlines are forcing them to do so.
But however, I mean, other than complaining about the inconvenience of this thing being over your face, has there been any real imminent threat of danger? Has any pilot passed out or has this caused an actual health issue or emergency on an airliner?
I have not seen any pilot pass out or... It's not visible. What you experience is not quite visible. It's subtle, okay? And over time, it's going to cause problems for your health, which means that you may not be able to obtain a medical certificate because restricting blood to your oxygen in any amount, it is proven that it can cause clotting, blood clotting. So, and this is cumulative. It's not like, oh, you just didn't wear the mask for 1 hour and now you're good to go. You're not having any blood clotting. You will have blood clots. It's scientifically proven that any restriction of oxygen reaching your bloodstream is going to cause some blood clots somewhere. And what I foresee is future problems that the pilots will experience. And that was stated to me by a nurse 2 years ago. She's retired now. But she said, they don't know what they're doing. It's going to be nothing but problems forcing people to wear the mask.
Yeah, or do they know what they're doing? You know, I mean, so you said that you weren't political until this whole thing came about. But, Captain, we have to consider now the idea that this is being done and that these are intended consequences. You know, you have a, a jab, an experimental shot that's not FDA approved. It's not even available. The FDA approved version is not even available in the United States. That's just more fake news from a propagandist communist media, the regime's media. But this thing, one of the biggest side effects, most commonly known side effects, is blood clots. They're throwing clots in the air. Pilots are having strokes. And now you're talking about the mask also causing clots. Clots are obviously a very dangerous thing that can immediately and without notice incapacitate somebody, maybe on a final approach just a couple of hundred feet above a runway. The aircraft most likely would not be recoverable by, you know, the by the mirror person in the cockpit. So
I agree. And the problem is that it is not, like I said, it's not visible. So you really cannot say, oh, it's going to happen today or it's not going to happen today. You don't know when it's going to happen. And that's the problem. The FAA has a rule, and we know it as FAR 6153. And it clearly states that if you know, as a pilot, if you know, or you have a reason to know of any condition, okay? So a mild hypoxia is a condition. As a matter of fact, the FAA has a guide for medical doctors who issue these medical certificates for pilots. And pilots have pilot certificate and they have a medical certificate. And a pilot certificate without a medical certificate is just an ornament. It means nothing. You really have to have the medical certificate. And the guidance from the FAA for all these aeromedical examiners, we call them AMEs, has nothing, no guidance whatsoever for issuance of medical certificates with a mask on. Therefore, anybody who puts a mask on, in my opinion, is violating FAR 6153.
FAR 6153, and this is a Federal Aviation Administration
regulation.
Regulation.
And this has been on the books for a long, long time. It hasn't changed since I started flying.
Yeah, that regulation seems to be something of more serious impact than that of somebody tampering with a smoke detector in a laboratory. Oh, which we're often warned of prior to takeoff.
Absolutely. I mean, the foundation of safe aviation is the pilot's health. And this is not, it's a lifelong commitment. It's like having a pet. You know, you have them for life. So when you decide to become a pilot and you receive this medical certificate, you have to take care of your health nonstop, 24/7. Okay? It doesn't start at the flight deck door. It starts, it doesn't stop. It's 24/7.
So are you going to continue to resist and not comply with this mask mandate?
Oh, absolutely. If I don't, I would be violating the regulations.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. You have it on your shirt there. Lift up your shirt so that everybody can see it.
And this is it.
Yeah.
This is CFR 14, right? Or 14 CFR.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time 61, seeing it there just because of the cropping on the camera. But
how about
yeah,
now?
There it is. All right, we got it. And yeah, I mean, so are you encouraging your other pilots that work for your airline and work for other airlines? Are you encouraging your colleagues to take a stand and take the mask off?
I am. And when I started talking about this regulation, many of the pilots did not remember it because they learned it when they started learning flying early on in their career. So they really forgot about it. Even my chief pilot, who I've known for years, when I started discussing this regulation with him, could not remember it.
Yeah. I know that there are a lot of pilots that get into the cockpit, that door closes, and they just rip the damn thing off anyways. But, you know, there are some that are afraid of being caught, a lot of them that are afraid of being caught doing that. And so they just wear it, which not only puts them at risk, but obviously hundreds of people behind them.
Right.
And, you know, planes unexpectedly descending at a couple hundred kilometers per hour from 30,000 feet to the ground in just a few seconds is probably not a good idea in the name of stopping spread. On an aircraft where spreading any virus is literally virtually impossible.
It's problematic. But let me explain that rule. The TSA, or the Department of Homeland Security, has issued what they call a security directive regarding the masks. And in it, there's an exemption for anybody who has a sensitive job that dictates that their health and safety requires them basically to not wear a mask, or anybody who falls under federal regulations. Now, the airlines are using that exemption to allow pilots not to wear a mask on the flight deck. We don't wear the mask. We don't have to wear the mask on the flight deck. However, it's for safety. They say it's for safety. But at the same time, they violate that mantra that says it's for safety, and they allow a pilot who wants to wear the mask to wear the mask, actually violating the very premise of their policy, if you will.
What is the regulation from the FAA one more time?
It's in the
FAR.
FAR 6153.
6153. Everybody write that down. The flying public, and I'm out of time here, Captain Saliba, so I got to get going. But FAR, is it one more time?
6153.
Write that down. I need to, obviously. I keep forgetting it. FAR 6153, FAA regulation. The flying public should know this. And if you board an aircraft and you see that.
Alrighty, we are back. And fellas, I wanted to just give you a couple things and have you comment on it, because you guys are like really smart. So, weird. This is an article by Jim Hoft, who he writes a lot of articles. Myocarditis rates up 31% in France and 75% in Germany for some reason, okay? For several months, French doctors have argued that the spike proteins produced by COVID-19 vaccines may result in numerous deaths this winter season. Fringe doctors, that's what they're called by the fake news media. Then, in November, the New England Journal of Medicine suggested a similar situation. The spike protein produced by the COVID-19 vaccines have led to myocarditis and neurological concerns. And recent results from Germany and France show that myocarditis is on the rise in this past year. Some vaccines were widely distributed last year. Myocarditis rates surged more than 75%. One might say COVID causes myocarditis. Well, that's what could account for the rise, except myocarditis cases dropped at the start of the COVID pandemic and kept declining for a few months afterwards. What happened in the middle of last year that could have resulted in a large increase in myocarditis cases? Perhaps the widespread administration of medical intervention that causes a significant number of myocarditis cases. Folks, it's the poisonous poke. What do you think, John and John?
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Pastor Ernie. I mean, right from the very beginning, the top doctors like Dr. McCullough and the heart specialists, they were warning how these how the death shot would cause clotting in the heart. And that's what it was designed to do, Pastor Ernie. That's what it's doing. Some it's quick, and others are more over a long time. But we're really starting to see these the direct effects of these COVID-19 vaccinations on the heart. There are, I think, Pastor Ernie, 300 soccer players there throughout the world. Soccer is big everywhere, but in America. And I just saw one yesterday. I forget what country he was in, but he was running down the field and keeled over, dead as a doornail, Fifth Ernie. And he was like 28 years old. I mean, that never happened years ago. Never, never, never. Very seldom did you ever see anyone die on the field from a heart attack like that. Almost never. So
I know.
These are all effects. These are all effects, Pastor Ernie, of taking the shot. What it does is it gets, if the shots, they thicken the blood right around the heart. They have all those spikes in it, and it irritates the heart, and the immune system's going crazy, and it thickens, and the heart can't pump, and it stops.
Here's an article here. I want to go through some of these very fast here. Long funeral homes, short life insurers. Ex-BlackRock fund manager discovers disturbing trends in mortality. This is from Zero Hedge. One American insurance company CEO, Scott Davidson, revealed that they had witnessed the highest death rates in the history of the business. not just at one American, not just at one America, that's the insurance company, with a jump of 40% over what they were pre-pandemic. Interestingly, Davidson noted that the majority of deaths are not classified due to COVID-19. Oh, no. Well, what are they classified for? Well, the implication was clear that COVID-19 vaccine is linked to the excess mortality and months of vaccine injury reports. See, we've been reporting on this for 2 years. For 2 years, we've been telling people, don't take those, okay? Don't take that. It'll kill you. It's poisonous. It's not a vaccine. It's a bioweapon. We've had virologist after virologist on here talking about that. And people are still taking it because they've been duped and they trust the government. But let me read this. But even worse than that is when religious leaders encourage him. And John, I want you to speak to that, but let me finish this very quickly. Okay, he goes on to say, linked to excess mortality and month of vaccine reports, we're now spilling over to actual data, which is beginning to show, among other things, that younger working age people begin dying in much greater numbers as vaccine mandates hit. For a disease which primarily kills older non-working age individuals, the counterargument often presented with evidence is that the increase is due to people who postponed elective surgery and other medical treatments during the pandemic. Ex-BlackRock founder, fund manager Ed Dowd is in the former camp and has spent the last month analyzing breadcrumbs associated with a rise in excess mortality versus pre-pandemic levels. Given that we are now in the middle of the earnings seasons, there are some pretty big crumbs rolling out of the insurance and funeral services industries, which are beginning to paint a disturbing picture. No kidding. The mortality worsened in 2021 versus 2020, despite widespread vaccinations. A spike in mortality among younger working age individuals coincided with vaccine mandates. The spiker in younger deaths peaked at Q3 2021 when COVID deaths were extremely low, but rising into the end. Okay, John, you've got about 90 seconds to comment on that before the break. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to talk. Oh, good. John, hold on. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, it was Franklin Graham. I got pericarditis in November of last year. And he was the one that was pushing the shot. So, I mean, from all appearances, it took out the sac around his heart for the reasons that John cited that are causing the myocarditis.
Well, there was a reason.
His granddaughter came down with it too. His granddaughter, Billy Graham's granddaughter. What's that? Billy Graham's granddaughter came down with the pericarditis also.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, she did.
Well, John, we're coming up to a break. When we get back, there's a villain out there of Fauci, fiend, like Fauci, besides Fauci. And his job was to go and convince very, very gullible religious leaders that it would be a good thing to take the poisonous poke. And so when we get back from the break, I want you to go ahead and elaborate on that, if you would.
Okay.
So, all righty, there you go. Well, and then after you've done that, we've got another clip about what's taking place right now north of our border in Canada. Our brothers and sisters, they've had enough, and they're standing up and they're fighting back. But there's a major false flag terrorist attack warning for Canada. Hang tight. We'll be back after this. Don't go away, folks. There's more to come.
Fight the fight. Light the light. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.